Welcome to Stories of InfoSec Journeys podcast. I'm Shruti Kamat, your podcast host. In case you're new here, I would highly recommend you listen to the introduction episode. And to others, welcome back and thank you so much for your support. Also, if you haven't given the podcast a follow on the social media yet, please go show some support by following us on Instagram, Facebook and LinkedIn at Stories of InfoSec Journeys and on Twitter at InfoSec Journeys. Today with us, we have Satyavati, who has over 24 years of experience in IT and cybersecurity and is the go-to person for critical security projects at CyberRes, Micro Focus line of business, and spearheads enterprise security architecture and cloud technology. She is an inventor, a thought leader, a noted speaker in international and national forums, and has been recognized as top 10 women in tech leaders in India, Top 20 Indian Women Security Influencer, Women in Tech, Chief Mentor, and many more. She also serves on the board of non-profit organization that is Chairman of Cloud Security Alliance Bangalore and Global Advisory Board, CTIA, at EC Council. Welcome to the podcast, Satya. Thank you so much for taking time to be here. In your own words, can you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Hi, Shruti. This is Satya. I am cybersecurity thought leader with more than 24 years of experience in several industries that include banking, telecom, BPO, ITSC, and media. Currently working as a head of enterprise security architect and cloud CTO for CyberRes, Micro Focus line of business. On the personal front, I live in Bangalore, happily married for 21 years, and have been blessed with two wonderful sons.
Thank you so much for that lovely introduction, Satya. So can you tell us what is that that introduced you to the InfoSec industry and what has been your journey like so far?
So my InfoSec journey started 20 years back. At that time, there is nothing called information security. It was part of quality function. So people used to say, you know what, we go to quality team and then go sleep. Are you going to join that group? Right. So practically speaking, people didn't understand the value proposition information security is going to bring in emerging world. Right. But in my mind, what I made the idea is that information security is the domain where you require to stay up to date, not just with technologies, environment, but also people and process every day, every minute. That is the one thing which you need to keep updated. It's almost like, you know, like the thieves, as the days progress, the technology advances along with that, there is a lot of revenue and the wealth that comes with technology. Along with that comes the adversaries and exploits, right? So how can you, what you can say, address that kind of threats and type of people and personalities? Unless you are progressing yourself, learning yourself daily and keep you up to date, that is when you can actually manage such challenging work. It is very exciting, according to me, because I get to learn something every day and I feel energized from there.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting or like a very common thing that I'm hearing that or heard, right? That in InfoSec, like every day there's something new to learn and like it is so important that you keep yourself updated to at least know like what's going on around. So yeah, I agree with you on that. So do you want to like talk a little bit about what has been some of your learnings and challenges that you faced while you have been working here in this industry? You did mention 24 years. What has been your learnings and challenges that you'd like to share with us?
I think this is a podcast, not a book. So I don't want to give the list of my challenges I faced. I failed many times, I succeeded sometimes. You know, life is full of learnings. It's very difficult to give a snapshot of everything in one shot. People will really get confused if I do that. But if I need to share one learning, which is really important, maybe useful even today, is when I did the first BS7799 implementation, which is equivalent to ISO 27001 in the today's world, right? So at that time, I was just an engineer. Many of these current group also might be facing similar challenges. I was just an engineer. I've been given this elevated role called as BS7799 implementer for entire south of India, which is as an engineer, I only have a reach of only actually Chennai at that time. But I need to implement these controls across Chennai, Hyderabad, and Bangalore. And in a public company where I have three layers of leaders. And you can't say just like the names, like right now we call names nowadays, right? Rai, Rav, etc. That was not the case. Everybody's a sir, and you need to say namaste, and you need to take the permission, and only when they sit, then you can sit. That's the approach, right? In that situation, you are bringing a change information security into an organization where, as I said earlier, quality is a part of the quality work. Or you get the auditor pleased, we are done with it, right? So me, I'm actually acting as an auditor, being just an engineer. I mean, not lowest at the level, but not at the superior level also, right? So the way in which I handle that is by getting the management support. Right? We all speak about the management support today. But at the time, I realized I myself can't do anything. I said, you know what? This is not my current role. This is not with which I am getting my bread and butter. My job is different. This job is given to me by the senior leaders of this company. So this is the job of the senior leader itself. So if you are not doing this, then you are actually not following the order of the great guy sitting on the third floor, right? So that's the way I visualized. When I visualized it, then things went okay. And then when the first meeting happened, I didn't do it myself. Instead, I had the leader sit there and then ask him to say, sir, this is what I wanted to tell. Can you start the session? Just 5 minutes talk of him, right? After that, I have 1 hour session. But that 5 minutes helps. Even today, having the leadership support is very important for any information security implementation. If you are a CISO, you still need the CIO's blessing or a CEO's blessing to get that money required for investment purposes. So, which is very important. Otherwise, you will be spending a lot of cycles and things won't happen.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think the support factor is something very important. Like if you have that, then you can really go about making the change that you want or any implementation for that matter, right? So yeah. I agree with you on that. All right. So since you've been here in this industry for a while, right, I'm sure you've had mentors. Do you want to talk about your mentors and like for folks who are seeking out mentors or mentorship, right? What is your advice for them?
Yeah, mentors are very important for career. You always have a manager. You believe, yeah, manager can take care of everything and I know what I want to do, things will happen. But that's not the case, right? You always have a career path and you have an objective in mind. At times, you won't get it from your own colleagues. Sometimes you might get it, but consider them as a mentor and ask them, take them as an advisor. That gets you the advantage, right? I have had several mentors and do have some now, right? So coming to how do you choose the mentor? That's the first point. And second is what do you obtain from the mentor and how you end the relationship with mentor? These three aspects are very important. First thing, to choose the mentor, objectivity is very important. You know, you shouldn't go because, you know, I know this person, so I'll go and get the mentorship. No, it doesn't work like that. So what is it you are looking for? Let me just give you an example. I want to become an AWS architect when I'm already a vice president. So, which means I should not be talking to the next vice president because they don't want to go into the architecture line. I need to speak to a person who has done that certification or interested working in that cadre, which means practically I need to speak with a junior or whoever is in that area, pursuing that kind of passion, have done that multiple times, right? One is identifying the competency in which you want to develop and then go ahead and have that relationship done and tell them what is your objective. I want to achieve this certification by this many months. Tell me the tips and tricks. Suggest me what books to read, how to do, etc. So you need to have a clear vision of what to achieve and what is the process and what is that you are expecting from the mentor. But what I observed in most cases, I am a mentor also. I have a lot of mentees. So what the mentees believe, you know what, Satya? I want to move to cybersecurity. Tell me where should I go? That is not the way. That is the worst way because the mentor will impose on you her or his ideas, which is not your path. You need to do your own research Identify what is the objective you want to achieve. That is when you can achieve it. Otherwise, you are giving a broad statement, asking the mentor to tell something. That will be an advisory session, not a mentee session, mentor-mentee session. Advisory session will be, you know what, these are 10 different things you can do. Check whatever you want. And then that's the advisory session according to me. Then out of the 10, you choose one and then find the right person with the competency and then get that particular objective achieved, right? So that's the second aspect. Just don't go wide open. Do go with the very clear objectives. And even some mentors do not entertain it. They'll tell, you know what, this is not the way the mentorship works. You tell me what are the things you want to achieve and how can I help you? So that's the best way people do. But at times you get all kinds of mentors, right? Another aspect is how do you close it appropriately? So some people believe mentorship need to be lifelong. No, not necessarily. So you have an objective you have achieved and then go actually come thank them and then really give some sweet thank you note or appreciative note. Or just say good words, right? To close it properly, right? So that's another way. Just do not forget them because they given advice. Okay, done, right? I think proper closing is another important because in the long run, you have a relationship need to be maintained. Those are the three aspects. And then to me, what my suggestion here is, another aspect is people who go through a lot of pain, right? They seek mentors. At that time, you do not need mentor. Whom you need is actually a friend or a guide. Don't go into a foreign body to actually tell you all your problems. The first time you are reaching somebody and you are telling all these problems in your office, it may or may not work out, may reverse it. Because you never know, that person may be a friend of your boss, right? So what is my recommendation? If you want to discuss about your personal problems or family barriers or your personal situation, that is also a problem to solve, correct? That's an objective you have. But in that scenario, you should go to a person you've already established a trust, you've already established some friendship with, and then whatever you are speaking is going to be in a closed arena. That is when you approach them, right? Unless you build that, don't do it. That's one pitfall to watch out
avoid.
For.
Okay.
Watch out for, yeah, for sure.
Thank you so much. Yes, it does. I think you're probably like the first person to actually explain the whole mentorship in such detail, or at least I have not heard anyone, you know, divide it in different parts of how to begin, how to go about, how to end it. Like, so valuable. I really appreciate what you had to share here. I think it's very useful information. And I absolutely agree with you on the earlier point, which you mentioned about because you have something bothering, go about talking to someone you already have built that trust with rather than finding someone new to talk about. I think that's very important, right? Because with security being like a small industry, like I'm pretty sure everyone will know everyone. So if you have any concerns, it's, specifically with regards to work, right? So if you have any concerns, it's better to reach out to people who you can trust sharing those details with. So
no, I give you an interesting scenario there, right? There was a scenario, it happened, that's why I said, right? So, you know, you don't know what the other person is going through. They might be also going through a similar scenario, or they might be actually fed up with such kind of complaints coming, right? So what will, you are doing the first call, and what will be your impression on the other person? Same way, what is the impression that person have on you, right? They come out of the call, and what they are going to talk to the others.
Yeah.
What is that experience they are taking back as a mentor? Even though you call them mentor as a title, that's still a person. There is still a person behind that, right? So yeah. We need to be very cautious of that subject. There might be chances where that person doesn't entertain this kind of thing. Then we say, you came, you know what, then one lady came and started giving all the nonsense and wasted 1 hour of time. There's a possibility that mentor might say. You know, I'm just giving a practical scenario because that is not the setup with which that person might have come. They thought, okay, there is an objective with which they are coming. I'm going to guide them and close them, right? Because they also go through 100 different problems. They don't know, they are not there to solve your personal problems. So that's something to watch out for.
Yeah. Agreed.
Okay.
All right. So with that, I want to ask you, what has been your experience of, being in a leadership role, and what is your advice to folks out there, to create a leadership presence?
As the people say, right, leaders and differentiation between the leaders and managers. So leaders are those who actually make sure that people around them are progressing, and then they are just working along with them rather than just having a lot of followers like politicians have. It's not about having a lot of followers, then you become the leader. But you are the leader only when others believe that you are the leader, right? And then you are also actually building something, not just yourself, but along with them. And you are bringing some leadership, some kind of development of the group around you. So it's not about soul development of the person, but soul, the development of the entire group. Right? That's when I consider a leader a leader. Right? How do you create a leadership presence? See, leadership presence, people believe this. This is a separate session we went through, saying how do you establish a leadership presence? You wear a suit and you go with get up and suit up and you speak really positive, all those things, right? Yes, they are certainly needed. But more than that, to me, is actually when you do really the part of the leader, which is leading by example, for example, right? So if you've done something really as an example, no matter whatever the dress you are wearing, people still respect you. I've seen old lady cotton sari walking all the way and taking the award from the president. Everybody actually stood up and saluted her, right? So it's not about the presence, which means the costume, what you are wearing. Instead, what is that you are bringing to the group? How you are adding the value? And second, as an individual, you should actually try to develop the people around you. In your team and your sub teams, etc. So those are the ways you can do it. And another aspect is being available is another aspect. And actually listening is the third aspect. Being available is something which is a notion people believe that the leader is available. They will be just available, but they don't, right? They're just typing or doing something. The discussion is going on. You might believe, what happened? Suddenly they'll ask after me, right? So that is actually not the presence. The leadership presence is when actually you are understanding the scenario, then you are making some, making the entire group as your own. Being accountable is another aspect. So being accountable comes with whether the leaders have done good or bad, right? But that they take the entire power of the group, whether it's positive or negative. So there are cases where I observed, right? Something good happened, then it's mine. If something bad happens, it's the team's. So that is not leadership, according to me. So build some best practices like that. And then second aspect, I said listening, really, not just hearing and hearsay, but just listening with empathy. Listen for the purpose. Listen to develop them. Listen for a solution. I think these are the areas which are something everyone has to practice. Nowadays, listening is such a luxury.
True. Yeah, I agree. So I think I recently, like in the last 2-3 years, I would say I realized that listening with empathy is actually like so important, and it's such a rare skill. It's like so underrated and such a rare thing. If you find a leader who can do that, then you're like really fortunate to be around them. So that's something I observe too. And I do agree that, you know, giving that assurance to your group of people that, you know, you're going to be there irrespective of whether something goes right or wrong. So that's something really important. And that does play a huge role in creating a leadership presence, right? Okay, so with that, I wanted to understand or ask you that what is it that you're currently working on, or is there anything specific that you want to share with your listeners?
Yeah, so I think 2 years back, I moved from a completely leadership position to an individual contributor. Okay. You might have wondered how this happened, like Satya become chief architect, right? Suddenly, it's a long position called chief cybersecurity architect, but still it's an individual contributor role after handling a leader position, having multiple team reporting to you. It's a major change for me, right? But the reason why I did it, it's because of my passion to build something new, build solutions around cloud per cycle, which is actually connecting to all the fascinating things happening in the world. The cloud is emerging, and the cybersecurity is anyway growing, right? And combination of these two, and I'm building the strategic solutions around it, and connecting all the pillars of the Micro Focus. That's something which was really fascinating to me, and then I picked that. And now I'm heading the Enterprise Security Architecture Group, right? What we are doing is we are not just building the cloud security solutions for customers for their cyber resiliency, but also working on thought leadership activities. What do you mean by thought leadership, right? So have the concept, right? We just didn't discuss about the top product, let's say NetIQ, instead our old age. We speak about the concepts and then the business. Why zero trust is important? What is the problems it's going to solve? And what is industry looking for in that area? What are the problem statements we should solve today? And how can we emerge from that? And how can we reduce the risk? So that's the kind of working group I'm leading, right? Which is again, another fascinating exercise. On the work front, on the personal front, I'm doing PhD. So,
wow.
Yeah, so that's another interesting area. So I completed my MTech last year. And yeah, you might wonder that also. And then started my PhD, and that's another interesting journey I'm taking, another parallel journey to take up.
I have to ask, how do you manage time?
Yeah, so, see, time is something you can only manage, otherwise it will pass away. And one more thing people say, right? Once you are interested in it and you want to have it, you will hook up, right?
Yeah.
That's the case it is. And for me, doing studying is something which is there. So you might observe a long list of certifications within my resume and all. And I ensure that then one or the other career certifications I do every day or every year or alternate year. So the MTech I have done along with my son. When he started BTech, I started MTech. I tell him I finished once. Now I'm saying, okay, I'll finish PhD also while you're finishing BTech. But that's not the possibility. But it's fun. And another aspect is, if you consider anything fun, then it's a part of the game, right? If you're considering anything job, then it's boring, obviously.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
And I don't want to be in a position, you might have seen some changes in my career too. I choose a position which actually connects to me, my mind and heart. That's when I choose. Otherwise, I don't.
Yeah, I think that's very important, right? If you do not enjoy what you do, then you're really not adding any kind of value to the work that you're doing. I'm so glad I had that realization pretty early on, and I decided to make changes accordingly. But yeah, that's something that's really important.
It stresses you in all directions.
Yes, yes, it does. It does.
Yeah, yeah. Then obviously, job is no more job. It's a headache.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. True, I agree with you on that. All right, so do you want to share some of the communities that you've been associated with, and what is that you love about them?
I'm associated with many communities, right? I'm associated with women in security communities. I'm associated with the fraud examiner community, data privacy community, and majorly cloud security alliance. I am leading the Cloud Security Alliance Bangalore chapter. So we are planning to do something around that area also, to bring some community in that area. You will hear that soon. But in general, I work with girls and women. As I just mentioned, I do mentoring seriously, not just fun business. You might have observed it. So I do have my mentees all the time, whether they are students or professionals or seniors. So I do have that as a continuity basis. Not all are formally written, but there are relationships. How I get motivated to work on communities? I haven't got as much of support needed in my early childhood. I have to take my own directions, decisions. Do not have mentors, mentees at that time. Now there is a system established. I thought I'll be able to help as many people as I can.
That's so thoughtful of you. Thank you so much. So while you have been doing all of this, right, what is that has been your source of motivation that helps you keep going?
I told earlier, right? Learning is something which gives me happiness. Every time I learn something new, or mainly I get a new degree or certification or something. Recently I got a patent also. I will suddenly become young, you know, maybe 5 years, 10 years, I don't know. That's the truth. So it happens, you know, you imagine the day when you won the game or something, you started jumping and running, etc. Because you were the child within you started jumping up and down. So to me, that happens when I do something new, either it is an innovation or it is a study, or even my team that did something new. I'm the first one to clap and shout and make noises. I'm good in that. So that's what my team says, Satya. I think you are happy for every small thing, is it? Yeah.
That's really sweet. Like, I think firstly, finding people who are happy is like difficult too, right? So it's good to know that you're happy for your team, and like even the smallest things make you happy. So I'm so glad.
That's what makes you run, right? That's your fuel. Yeah. That's for me, the fuel.
I think it's the same way for me as well. So I generally find like if there's anything to look forward to, like any kind of activity that makes you happy, that I can look forward to. So that usually is being like my motivation that keeps me going. Like, okay, there's something that needs to be done. Okay, this is going to be fun. So let's get to it and all that. So yeah, I think you have to find something that makes you happy and you can celebrate afterwards. So yeah, that definitely is a good source of motivation, I would say.
Yeah. So I'll tell you, right? So people actually put some target, like I need to do holiday means, you know, I will go to Himalaya, so I'll go to this, I'll go to that. For me, as much as I go somewhere where I can relax, I'm happy again, right? You know what? This is enough, right? So doesn't mean that I don't do travel. I do travel a lot. But still, the idea here of being happy for small things, that fuels me a lot.
Yeah, that's so good to know. I'm going to, you know, make sure to stay in touch with you to make sure that energy passes on to me I need it. Yeah, but I am still curious, like, how do you manage time with so many things that you've been doing?
Yeah, I think I am blessed with the support system also. I do have 2 sons, I told you, and I live with my in-laws, my husband. It's about a large family. I do have at least 1 or 2 visitors at my home. It's a big family as such, right? So that's one source of motivation. And second is the support system happens only when you engage them properly. You know, you need to tell that, you know, I am in a meeting. I was just talking before you. Before we logged in, right? I know that in 30 seconds, the call is going to start. I'll tell them, you know, in 30 seconds, the call is starting, and they simply move out and close the door, right? So there are some customs, and during the lunchtime, right? I do have a lunchtime, then I don't take any official calls. Sometimes I'm in the lunchtime, sorry, right? And as I said, the small things are very important to me. For me, it's important to cut the cake of my son. For me, I can simply reschedule the call, right? These are all actually happen if you plan it in advance. A lot of planning goes within it. You might think these are simple, easy, right? It's not. You need to just think about it, right? Oh yeah, today is my best activities going on, so I can't have any official calls. If I have an official call, then I can't have any disturbances from the family. Then you need to have that distribution of work in your mind as well as your planner. That's when the peace of mind comes. Otherwise, most times it stresses out. I end up working longer hours in the night and they know it. But I have time in the morning where I can spend time with them and weekends. Yeah. So there is a balance to establish. There's a lot of loss, people say. But to me, people even work who are not working are also not balancing them. So it's okay. It's okay to be imperfectly perfect.
Yeah, that's perfectly acceptable. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
All right. So I think with that, I want to ask you like last one thing. I know you did give us some advice earlier while we were talking. But what is that you would like to advise to folks who are starting out, or, you know, for the people in the industry, in the security industry?
So in general, I have one thing which stuck in my mind, right? You've seen Three Idiots movie. Right. There's a line which says, success kept peechhe mat bhagna, excellence, something like that. I don't exactly know the English, Hindi words, But it's all about aiming for excellence. Success happens by default. You do not need to actually plan for it. It does happen, right? So for the youngers or even the professionals who are coming to the path, my recommendation is just don't think about the failures which happens in between. Just keep going with what you wanted to achieve. And one more step you also need to remember is there is no straight career path. It's always zigzag, right? There are times you will be actually standing in a similar layer or similar level. You might be saying, am I progressing? As long as you are actually learning new skill, you are actually bringing a lot of impact to the organization, you are moving in the career. Right? That's one path you need to remember. And do not think that, my colleagues are growing faster or I'm going slower. They are at this designation, I am at this designation. This is some conflicts do happen in my team as well as mentees, but what I observe. My recommendation is do not tally by titles. And do not tally your successes or failures with others. Because both are two different things. You cannot compare apples with oranges, right? Both are two different things. And you have come through your own success or failure based on your experience and your skills and your whatever the struggles you have in your family and around you, right? Nobody knows it. And just never compare with others. So that's when you will be happy, according to me. I know people try to compete, he's actually earning 10 crores. I need to earn 20 crores. I will never be able to buy the building of Antilla like the great Ambani had, right? I will never be Ambani, right? Right. But I will still be Satya and continue to grow, right? Just don't keep that level. Instead, have a progression according to your skill, your ability, and your career. Don't keep such expectation, then you will always be in a scenario where you will always be unhappy. So I know it doesn't mean that you should not aspire, but aspire to achieve something which you could achieve and also with a little more excellence, but not to that much that actually frustrate you or demotivate. That's the key thing I wanted to teach, because that's something I observed. People go through a lot of depression because others are promoted and not getting promoted. Or, my colleague who was with me, he moved to other organization. He jumped 3 levels. So all these things are actually not as the way it looks like. So as they say, the grass is not green on the other side. You need to understand the scenarios and situations and the environment around you, and think about your own situation, scenario, and problem statements around you, and move ahead with that. That is my recommendation, to look to your life and also celebrate every positive thing which is happening in your life. And whenever you fail, also think about what learnings you got, and then take it from there. Yes, there is a little sadness, but don't keep on hanging with that. Hope that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes absolute sense. I absolutely loved this advice. Thank you so much. I know we all like have this constant comparisons in our heads where, okay, we need to get better at this. We need to do better than them, or we need to do better than what we are doing right now. It's good to, try to be excellent, but not at the cost that it's going to make you unhappy. So I think this is like the much needed advice. Thank you so much for sharing that valuable advice. And I am so happy and glad to know that, you are also one of those persons that who tends to find happiness in small things, because I tend to do the same as well. So I can totally relate to what you're trying to tell. So, yeah.
If nothing else, eat carrot halwa, then I'm happy.
For me, it's french fries. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much for taking time to be here and be a guest at this podcast. I really appreciate sharing about your journey and all that insights you had to share with us. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks for having me. And I hope this is useful. And as I said earlier, I generally mentor. If you want to, anybody want to reach out for taking mentorship or guidance or advice, all three of them or any of them, yeah, I'm fine. You can reach me on my LinkedIn.
Sure. Yes, I will be sharing all the details in the episode description. So anyone who's interested in reaching out for mentorship, please do reach out. Thank you.
That was it for today, listeners. I hope you all enjoyed learning about Satya's journey as I sure did. In case you want to reach out to her, you can find her on Twitter by the handle @Satya_Devadri. Stay tuned for our next guest. Until then, stay safe and take care.